exactly how I wanted my own life to go. No heartaches, no failures, no disappointments to unfold. But God had a different plan for what life would bring my way. And although it's hard to see it now, I can trust the Lord and say, here's my life, I surrender all my plans and all my dreams that I thought were best for me. Use my life for your glory. Take the pen from my hand and write out your story. And although I may never fully understand, I want to be willing to say, Lord, here's my life. You may be struggling with trials of your own. You cannot see God's plan for you. You feel so all alone. Oh, but God's way is perfect. He guides each step you take. And although it's hard to see it now, you can trust the Lord and say, here's my life, I surrender all my plans and all my dreams that I thought were best for me. Use my life for your glory. Take the pen from my hand and write out your story. And although I may never fully understand, I want to be willing to say, take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Here's my life, I surrender all my plans and all my dreams that I thought were best for me. Use my life for your glory. Take the pen from my hand and write out your story. And although I may never fully understand, I want to be willing to say, Lord, here's my life.
Be here today. I have already had a blast. I already said, and for you that wasn't here this morning, I'll say it again. My wife and I love your pastor and his family. They have been something special to us for a long time. And one of the great things that I really enjoy about people's lives is watching their children grow up. And, you know, now, understand, I hope you understand what I'm about to say. Every kid that's raised in a preacher's home, somewhere they have to make the preacher's God their God. For years and years, my children lived on my faith. They did what I said or else. That's the way it's supposed to be. But I remember when my son, between his junior and senior year, he went to youth camp and he come home, and of course we had a testimony service every time we go to youth camp, and he got up and he said, "All my life I've been going to Bible college because my dad said so." He said, "But now I have a reason because God called me to preach." I could tell you, if I was possible, which it's not, I'd have done a double backflip. Because now he's not serving God for me. He's serving God because he's his God. And everyone in this room has to do the exact same thing. You got to make God your God. Now, Romans chapter 10, I'm going to preach a message you might find strange or simple. I don't know much else but simple. But it's so important when you think about all the different things people say it takes to go to heaven. Now, if you was one of the Protestant church people, which Baptists are not, we were never in the Catholic Church, so we didn't protest against them. All of the Protestant churches, they baptize their babies. And you say, "Well, preacher, that's not if you believe what they believe, it's not." They believe you got to be a member of the church to be saved. Now, if you believe that, you'd want your baby baptized too. Would you not? Most of the problems we have doctrinally in our country revolves around how do you go to heaven. I was sitting up one Sunday morning waiting to go to church, and I was watching this program that I had never watched before, and it was 12 clergy, which means they just don't know what they're talking about, sitting around a table, and it was called Ask the Preacher, or Ask the Pastor, I believe it was. And so this is the question that they had asked. How do I go to heaven? That was what they were answering. I thought, I got to watch this. 12 of them, there was 3 women and 9 guys. They went around and each one of them said something stupid about how to go to heaven. Was not even close. Finally, the last girl says, "Well, I'm concluding by what all of these people have said, we don't know." And I thought, you sure don't. And the problem that we have in our world, there's a lot of Baptists that don't know either. They've sat in church all their life, and they kind of like the apostles. Can you believe that the disciples didn't know Jesus was going to resurrect from the dead on the third day? He said it over and over and over. You know, they should have been standing outside that grave going, "Come on, Jesus!" But they didn't understand. A lot of people sitting in our churches don't understand what it takes to go to heaven. So I'm going to preach to you a very strange message probably for some of you. But Romans chapter 10 and verse number 9. Probably everybody in this room knows it or has heard it. And this is what it says. That if thou, anybody not know who thou is? I've had people say, "Well, I don't get that King James Bible." I think you know who thou is. That would be you.
Yeah, that's right.
Amen. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Hallelujah. And then the next verse, he explains it. I love it when God explains. Don't you? He said, "For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed." How do you know you believe in him? Because you're not ashamed. That's how. Amen. "For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Now, many, many independent and even other kind of Baptists zero in on verse 13. And the Bible says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." So they're going to tell you, all I got to get you to do is say a prayer and you get to go to heaven. That is not true. Are you listening? If that's all you did, you didn't get saved. There's something that has to come first. The Bible says if you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. In other words, you believe in Jesus and that belief causes you to cry out and ask Jesus to save you. That's what salvation is. If you don't have the belief, there's no salvation. If you don't have the calling out, there's no salvation. Whosoever shall call upon the Lord in the name of the Lord will be saved, shall be saved. But you got to believe.
Right.
And somebody, I went out soul winning with this guy one time. And he went back and told people we won 17 people to Jesus. We didn't win one person. You know why? Because he walked up to this total stranger and said, "How are you doing, sir? You don't want to go to hell, do you?" "Say yes. Repeat this prayer." Well, who ain't going to repeat what he says?
Right.
17 people did it. Not one of them got saved. Because
yeah.
He didn't stop and say, "Hey, first you got to believe Jesus died on the cross for your sin. You got to believe that you're a sinner and that He rose from the dead for your justification. Glory to God, without it you can't be saved." So we've got to get to understanding that, because God wants to make sure that we're giving the real gospel to people so they can really, really be saved. And if you get saved, it changes your life. Hello, if it didn't change your life, you didn't get saved. I've had over the 50 years of my life, I've been saved, and the 45 I've been pastoring, I've seen all kinds of people run down to the aisle on Sunday morning and they supposedly get saved. I never see them again.
Yeah,
right. Bang, I didn't get saved. I'm like the preacher. I got saved on Sunday morning. My wife got saved on Sunday morning. We have not missed church since.
Yeah.
Unless I was... Well, I did miss 2 weeks when I had my heart surgery. I told my preacher, who is my son, "The only reason I'm going to miss church is if I'm dead. Come by and see me after church because I'm dead."
Yeah.
You know why? I want to go to church.
Right.
I love church. I tell you, my wife and I, we've had such a great marriage. I love my wife. By the way, stand up, wife, everybody. This is my lovely wife, Karen. We've been married 55 years.
Amen.
And she's only 50. We did get married pretty young, though. We did. I'm not going to go into that because she don't like it. But we... My wife wanted to go to church. I don't know why I didn't. I had my son. He was about this big. And he's my pastor now, by the way. He's about this big. And she finally talked me into going to church. I should say she nagged me into going to church. There's a difference. So she said, she went over to Dairy Queen to get dinner that night. And she said, she come back and she said, "I found the church. It's Diamond Oaks Baptist Church, right across from the Dairy Queen." And I said, "Okay, if I get up in the morning, we'll go." I never got up on Sunday morning, ever. Didn't intend to that day either. But at 7 o'clock in the morning, I'm sitting right up in the middle of bed, wide awake. I think God went, "Wake up, boy." And so I did. I woke up. And so she said, "Okay, we're up. Let's go to church." I said, "Well, call down there and see what time they start." So she calls down there, and Bert Homer was my pastor. I love him. He answers the phone. And I'm listening to her side of the conversation, but I knew what he was asking by what she is saying. And he said, "What's your name? Where do you live? What's your husband's name? What does he do for a living? How many kids you got?" He asked about 10 questions, just bang, 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 bang. Now, I didn't understand why he needed to know all that. I do now. He was coming after me if I didn't show up. I knew exactly what he was doing. But we did show up. So right in the middle of all that, I told my wife, "Hang up on that idiot!" So we go to church. Never been to church in my life. Understand, I know you find it hard to believe. Never, ever went into church. Had no idea what we were doing. So we walked in the back door, and quite frankly, we didn't look like anybody else in the church. And that's an understatement. I had a white T-shirt, cigarettes rolled up in my pocket, like on my arm, like it's supposed to be, cool guys have. A pair of blue jeans. And flip-flops. And I thought it was horrible now, but now I go to church and there's still people dressed like that. I don't get it. But anyway, we come in the back door and there was three aisles and they were theater seats. And so we went down this side and we're going to go down to the front. I didn't know good Baptist sat in the back. I hadn't been taught that yet. So we went all the way down to the front. And right over here, there was a door that went out to a Sunday school class. And there was a lady standing there. Her name was Miss Snyder. Of course, I didn't know that at the time. And I'm sad. I got my son in my arms. And she walked right to her and she just took him. So I took him back. She took him and ran. And I'm smoking mad. I thought, "What does that woman think she's doing?" And on the way, as she's running away, she said, "You can't listen with this crying baby." I said, "He ain't crying." But he would have, because the devil would have made him. Right? So she took off. So I sat down, I'm already smoking mad. I did not like this at all. So they started singing songs. I never heard any such thing like that, like we sang this morning. And you know, to be honest, I wouldn't admit it at the time, I liked them. And they got up and sang a special, and man, I thought, man, that guy can really sing. I didn't understand what he was singing about, but I liked it. It wasn't Led Zeppelin. Some of y'all know who that is. Some of you don't. Don't matter. Anyway, we sat down there and the preacher got up to preach. And he starts screaming and hollering and preaching. I asked my wife, what is that guy mad about? Who made him upset? She said, I don't know, but he's upset. Finally, he said something I'll never forget through all eternity. He said, are you sick and tired of your lifestyle? And I was a drug dealer and a druggie and all this other stuff. And I thought in my heart, and I didn't say it out loud, but I thought it in my heart, oh, if you only knew how sick I am of this. He said, if you'll come forward this morning, Jesus Christ would take a giant eraser and dip it in His own blood and wipe away all your sin, he said. Woo! And he said, you can leave here a brand new person. I said, that's for me. Holy Spirit starts going like this. I got up and went down there right then. I didn't know they was going to give an invitation at the end. I'd never been to church. So I went down there. He's not anywhere near free preaching. So I'm standing here like that, looking up at him. And, you know, any good preacher's not going to let one nut coming down here going to stop him from preaching. Because if you start messing up over here, I'm just going to go over here and preach to these people. I'll just ignore you. And so that's what he did for a while. I just thought you had to stand there a certain amount of time before anybody paid attention to you. I didn't know. So finally I stood there long enough and he stopped and he said, what do you want? I said, I want to get that washed in the blood thing. He said, oh.
Yeah.
Now the sermon's over.
Well,
and he stopped and came down and led me to the Lord. Well, my wife comes down and she's standing there. And finally, which y'all don't make anybody wait this long, she stood there for a while. Finally, one of the deacons come and said, ma'am, what'd you come for? I may not have this exactly right, but she said, I don't know what he came for, but I want to get that blood thing. I want to get washed in the blood. So she got saved on that end. And I got saved on that end the same day. That afternoon, I went and told everybody I knew to come to church so they can get washed in that blood thing. Probably made more of business the first afternoon I was saved than some people made in their whole life. I wanted people to know. So that night, we went back and got baptized. He baptized us together. And I don't mean we're standing in the same pool. I mean, he stood over on this side, put his arm around me. I put my arm around my wife, and he put us down and brought us back up. We were a lot smaller then. I don't think you could do that now, but it was great. And we've been serving God together ever since. And I'm going to tell you something. It changed my life. And if you really believe in your heart that Jesus Christ died on the cross and that He died for you and that you're a sinner and you cry out and ask Him to save you, He will save you. All of you.
Amen.
He might even change your habits. Amen. I tell you, I went home after we finally made all those visits. And so I took all the booze in my house and poured it down the drain. Took all my drugs, and I was a dealer, so I had a bunch, and flushed them down the commode. I took my rock records, I'm talking about Janis Joplin, Led Zeppelin, all of that kind of nonsense, and I broke them in pieces and threw them in the trash. Somebody said, why did you do that? Because I knew Jesus wanted me to. Hello.
Yeah. Right. Amen.
I've had somebody say, I don't know what's wrong with rock music. You don't know what you're talking about. So we did all that the first day. And then we got started. I'm just telling you folks, it makes a difference. It changes your life. I'm afraid Matthew 7 is going to apply to a lot of fundamental Baptists. Matthew 7 verse 21 says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, capital L, capital L. So they're talking to the real Lord. He said, not everyone that saith, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Anybody know what that is? Jesus said, let me tell you what the will of the Father is, that you believe in me.
Right. That's it.
That's what he's saying here. Anybody that has not believed in me is not going to heaven. And it doesn't have anything to do with what you look like when you come to church. It doesn't have anything to do with how much money you put in the offering. It just has to do with whether you have trusted Christ. And then he said, verse 22, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, capital L, capital L, talking to the Lord. Many are going to say to me in this day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Haven't I been a preacher? Haven't I preached the word of God? I'm going to tell you this story. I probably don't have enough time to tell you all this stuff, but I'm going to take it anyway for just a second. I had a friend of mine that was a missionary Baptist pastor. And he and I had lunch together. We connected. Now, he was crazy as a loon doctrinally, but I still liked the guy. So I had Dr. A.B. Henderson preach a revival meeting for me. And don't know whether you know who he is or not, doesn't matter. He was, in my opinion, the greatest preacher of the 20th century. I mean, he could 22 minutes, and he'd say more than I can say in a week. Amazing preacher. So I told this preacher friend of mine, I said, listen, Bubba, why don't you want to hear some great preaching? I'm going to invite you to hear the greatest preacher ever. You come on Friday night, and he did. And Dr. Henderson got up and preached this very famous message he preaches on living water. I'm telling you, made cold chills go up down my back. It was so exciting. So wonderful and so gracious. So he only preached 22 minutes. So you got plenty of time for invitations after that. So I went to the altar and I'm praying and thanking God for the living water, you know. And God speaks to your heart. If God speaks to your heart and you are saved, you ought to get out of here and talk to him about it.
That's right.
Amen. I don't understand. I had people in my church in Louisville. I was there 35 years and they never one time went to the altar. I'm sorry. I don't get that. But anyway, I got up and he was on the other end. So I went over there. I said, are you okay? And he said, I don't have any of that living water. Where do I get it? So I led him to Christ. Let me tell you something. Even though somebody calls himself a preacher, don't mean they're saved. He said, but Lord, we prophesied in thy name. Lord, I preached every Sunday for 50 years. He said, that has nothing to do with it. He said, and in thy name have cast out devils. Now, I haven't even done that, and I'm saved. I don't mess with devils. And in thy name done many wonderful works. Now, that's a pretty good resume, isn't it? But here's what Jesus said. Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. That'd be the saddest day of all eternity. For you to sit at a fundamental Baptist church and die and go to hell. Because you said a prayer. Or because I've actually had somebody, I asked him, how do you know you've been saved? And they said, well, I do good stuff. If you think that's why you're saved, you need to get saved. Let me tell you how you know you're saved. Are you ready? Let me tell you how you know you're saved. Are you still with me? I'm going to tell you how you know you get saved. How you saved. Romans chapter 8 says, my spirit, talking about the Holy Spirit, will tell your spirit, talking about you, that you are a child of God. That's how you know. The Holy Spirit of God will tell you. When people get up and preach a message like I'm preaching tonight, right now, here's what the Holy Spirit ought to be telling you. Aren't you glad you're saved, glory to God? But no doubt, some of you are sitting there going, I don't even know what that man's talking about. That would really be sad, wouldn't it? Please don't do that. Please don't do that. Well, if I get saved, everybody's going to think, who cares what anybody thinks? But let me tell you the real truth of the matter is, if you was to get saved, everybody in here that's saved would rejoice and praise the Lord and join the angels in heaven as they sing. I have so much God's got in my heart, I don't know if I can get it all out. I was preaching through the book of Acts on a Wednesday night. I love to preach through books. That way you can say whatever the Bible says and everybody really can't get offended because it says right there. So I was preaching through the book of Acts and I got to chapter 26 where Agrippa got saved. Or didn't get saved, he should have. And Agrippa said, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Almost! So I sat in my office on a Wednesday morning and I prepared a sermon. Almost saved and yet lost. And I put it all out there and it's going to be a good sermon. I thought, I laid it aside. I thought to myself, okay, the next revival meeting, I'm going to preach that. So I'm set back down. I start reading over this passage of Scripture. And I'm praying, God, please give me a message for these people. And I prayed and prayed and prayed. It got to be 6 o'clock. I had nothing. We started at 7. 6:30, I got nothing. You know, the church is not going to accept it if you get and say, sorry, y'all go home, I got nothing. They don't like that. So I prayed and I prayed, and finally the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart and said, I already give you the message, just go preach it. And I thought, oh man, they're going to think I've lost my mind to preach a straight out salvation message on Wednesday night to the crowd that ought to all be saved. I said, okay, so I did. I preached this message just like I was preaching a revival meeting. I gave the invitation, and probably at least close to it, my favorite lady in that entire church. Her name was Gracie. We all called her Granny. She adopted me the first Sunday I was there. She said, I'm going to make you my son. Is that okay? I said, yes, Granny, that's good. Birthdays, Christmas, she loved me. She came down the aisle. And I thought, well, she just wants to pray for somebody that gets saved. She took me by the hand and said, preacher, I'm not saved. You could have knocked me over with a feather. So I called my wife. I said, Gracie wants to get saved. She said, what? This lady was involved in everything. So my wife led her to Christ. Right after my wife took Gracie over here to start talking to her, her best friend called Merle. Her name was Merle Chitanya. She was wonderful lady. They're best friends. So I thought she'd come down just to rejoice that her best friend got saved. She took me by the hand. She said, I'm not saved either. Could I get saved? And you know, I've rejoiced in my heart ever since that I actually preached the message God told me to preach. These people. So I, you know me, I'm a... You don't know me, but I'll tell you, I'm a person that likes to have an answer. So I asked Gracie later, I said, how long have you known you wasn't saved? And she said, for years. I said, you mean you sat and heard me preach all these years and you just sat there? She said, yeah, it was really not very smart. Listen to me, folks. If you're not saved, just say so and let's get it done. Yeah. It's wonderful. It's a great life. Jesus will move into your life and change your life from the inside out. It's so awesome. Now, if you get on back in our text, it says this, verse 14. How then shall they call on Him of whom they had not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they had not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? And then you go down to verse 17. It says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So here's what God's saying. How are these people ever going to believe if they've never heard? They're not. You got it? They're not. They're not going to magically figure out. You're not ever going to go to the Grand Canyon and say, wow, look at this beautiful thing of nature. Jesus must have died for me. You're never going to get that out of nature. You're never going to get that out of any other thing except the Word of God. So God said, here's how missions works. God calls a preacher. I wouldn't give you a plug nickel for a preacher that wasn't called by God to preach the Word. Amen. This is not an occupation. I never have a job. We were talking about that last night, talking about somebody asked me to fill out a resume. I'm not filling out a resume. I'm not looking for a job. I'm the preacher. Called by God, ordained by God, sent by God. That's the kind of preacher you got to have. And when you have people that come by, missionaries that's going to the field, hey, man, are you called to God? If they're not, send them on down the road. You got to have a man that's called of God. And then you got to have a man that knows what he's supposed to preach. They don't go there to teach people how to be farmers. They don't go there to teach them how to be a better fisherman, how to have a better business. You go to tell them about Jesus Christ. And you win them to the Lord. Amen. That's what you got to do. And I'm telling you, preachers are called by God to preach the Word of God. This is not hard. Pretty simple, actually. But if you have men of God that are called by God to preach the Word of God, faith is given to people and people get saved. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that great how God, that's how it worked for you?
That's right.
I walked into that church that morning, on Sunday morning. My preacher, you know what he was preaching? He was preaching how to cultivate a crop. No. He was preaching on the blood of Jesus Christ. He was preaching the Word of God. And while I'm sitting there listening to him preach the Word of God, faith filled my heart. And I believed. And I went down there and asked him to save me. And he saved me. Because that preacher was called of God to preach the Word of God. And he did. How'd you get saved? Hello? What was going on when you got saved? Was you at a taco place eating a taco and decided, taco kind of tastes good. I think I'll get saved. That's not how this works. Is it?
No,
if you got saved that way, I got bad news for you.
Yeah.
You didn't get saved. No, you hear the Word of God. God puts faith in your heart because of the Word of God. And by that faith, you trust Christ. And He changes your life. Oh, my life changed so much. One of the greatest blessings, one of the many great blessings God gave me, is that my son was so small when we got saved, he never seen his daddy like he was. I'm so blessed by that. Now, my testimony is exciting, I believe, for me. My son's testimony is this. I was raised in a preacher's home, so I didn't have to quit drinking or quit going to boobies, and I didn't have to quit taking drugs. I never did any of that stuff. But I knew I was a sinner. And I asked Jesus to save me. Now, folks, that's the best testimony you can have. You don't need to get out there in all that mess to understand. As a matter of fact, it's actually a negative thing that you did because some of it you just can't get out of your mind. Listen, folks, this is pretty simple. Now, let me show you one more thing and I'm going to quit. I know I'm sort of quit 10 minutes ago probably, but listen to this. Verse 15 says, "And how shall they preach except they be sent?" Nobody can do this without the authority of the local church. So the church sends them, and we help them. Can I tell you, I don't know if this is true, but every country I know of in the world that lets us send missionaries will not let the missionary get a job. They're not going to let you come in there and take jobs from their people. There may be some, but I don't know any of them. So they have to be sent by the church. Just like in Acts 13, the Bible says, the Holy Spirit said, "Separate me, Paul and Barnabas, to the work wherein I've called them." So the Holy Spirit called them through the church, and listen, a lot of people missed this second part, and they sent them out. That means they gave them money and sent them out. Hello? That's how this works. That's why we have faith promise. So we can give the missionaries the money to go do what God said. And that's not just in a foreign country. People need to start churches in America. We got a 73-year-old man out of our church in Sherman that's starting a church in Phoenix, Arizona. It's amazing. The man can barely walk. He's got something wrong with him, and he shakes like this. I shake a little, but all the time. He walks like that. I said, "How in the world are you going to start a church?" He said, "I'll show you." He's so smart. He bought a house in one of those senior communities that nobody under 55 can live in. He bought him a house. He rented the clubhouse and started asking people to come. You say, "Well, that's too simple." Yeah, it is. And he's got about 50 or 60 of them coming. And I asked him, I said, "What are you doing next?" He said, "Well, I'm going to find somebody. God's going to send me somebody that wants to pastor this church." Now, he's going to have to be an older guy. I love it. And then I'm going to go start another one. Do you not want to send a guy like that? I mean, this guy started 52 churches. This is 53. That's amazing.
Yes, sir.
So we got all over this country, we got people that need churches. And we need to help them. Amen. You see, man is the one that divided missions from foreign and home. God didn't do that. Preacher goes, starts a church anywhere in the whole world, he's a missionary. I don't care what country it's in. Now, I have to admit, you got to start one in America. You got a few more options than you do in Sri Lanka. Amen. Folks, listen. If you are saved and you truly trusted Christ as your Savior, and when you get to heaven, He's not going to say, I never knew you. He's going to say, come in. Ooh, I can hardly wait. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Now, if that's you, then understand what Romans 10:14 through 16 says. You got to get involved in sending these people. Now, it sounds funny, but we're really not in shortage of men that's called to go do something. We're just short of money giving it to them so they can go. Now, one thing I want you to think about, and then I'm going to quit. Listen to this. I got this young man. His name is David Story. He's one of our missionaries. And he's got six children, beautiful children, well-behaved. I took them out to eat, and they didn't make a peep. I thought, has he got those kids tied down? What is the deal here? Beautiful family, beautiful. Preach up a storm. I mean, this kid can, he ain't really a kid. This young man can preach. And he goes around the country for 2 years trying to raise enough money to go do what God told him to do. Come on. He ought not even have to go one place. He ought to call up every preacher in this whole group. I'm going here, and they give him money. Come on, what is this? You say, well, they're going around to help churches. I know. I'll go do that. Let the missionary go to the field. And I'm not saying deputation is not important, because it is. Not only to raise the money, but it's important for the missionary. But 2 years, 3 years, 5 years. Why? Because people won't give money. You know, once you get saturated, what I mean, you spend all your missions money. Sound like preacher said this morning, that's where you are. How are you going to take on any more? Well, somebody's got to give some money. Hello? Have I sufficiently made you man? Listen, folks, we need people that will get involved. Heavenly Father, we sure do love you this morning. What a joy it is to be your servant. Thank you that all those years ago, I heard the beautiful gospel of Jesus Christ, and I believed, and I asked you to save me, and you changed my life. Thank you for that. Thank you for all these years. These 53 years that we've been serving you, Lord, thank you. Praise you for it. Has it all been roses? You know, Lord, it hasn't. We've had our difficulties. We've had our broken hearts. But you've always been there for us. And I love you for it. Lord, would you speak to hearts here today? The only reason you sent me here is to tell them what I said to them this morning. Please. Let it find lodging in somebody's heart this morning. And the Holy Spirit would say to them right now, you're not saved. Get down there and get saved. And then help them have the courage to do so. And for all of those that are saved here this morning, you say, hey, we need to get involved in sending out these people to preach the gospel. I love you this morning. In Jesus' name.